Good morning. Just grab your coffee and the person next to you who you're talking to and just make for a seat. We're going to go on with the book of Luke again today. So I'm going to be jumping into Luke 6 and I'm only covering like this much in the whole chapter. Amen. So let's do our reading. Our reading is Luke chapter 6 and we're starting in verse 46. And it says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house, who dug deep and laid the foundations on the rock. And when the floods arose and the stream beat vehemently against the house, but it could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like the man without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and great was the ruin of the house." So, Jesus is giving us, we all know that, build your house on the rock. Amen. But before he does, he's just to preempt it a little bit, in the verses before, he says, well, before he gets into it, he's talking about trees and fruit and things like that. And then he talks about rocks and houses. And so he's talking about trees and fruit. And he's saying it's pretty simple. If a person has good fruit, he's generally a good person. If he has bad fruit, he's generally a bad person. So, like, I'm from Africa, right? And you get a lot of, I lived in South Africa, I lived in Zimbabwe, I lived in Mozambique, I lived in Zaire, I lived in Uganda for a bit, I lived in Kenya, I worked in a couple of other places aside from that, and sometimes the leader of the country would stand up and he would say good things. But the fruit, come on, the fruit wasn't great. Because, so no matter what he said, you could see the fruit was bad. And no matter what he did, it was what he did that actually counted, right? And so that's what Jesus is saying. So don't be mistaken by what people say. It's the fruit. And then from there, we're not going to spend a lot of time on that. But then from there, he goes on to say, he's talking to them, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I tell you? You don't do my sayings. You don't do what's in this book." Right? That's what he's saying. Like, why do you call me that? But you're not doing what you're meant to be doing. And then he says it's like, it's going to get more interesting. Just hang with me for a few minutes, all right? Then he says it's like building your life with a firm foundation when you're doing what he says. So what his word says. When you're doing what he says now, you're building your life in a solid foundation because the storm is a-coming, right? And he says, but now when the storm comes, and Luke's writing, so Luke's a doctor, as we figured out, and so he uses a medical term. He says, so when vehemently means that there's a rupture or a rupture. So when there's a rupture against your house or against your life, if you're a doer, you'll be okay. If you're not doing the sayings that are in this book, you're going to hurt bad, is what it's saying. Amen. So now we all know the song, build your house on the rock, build your house on the rock. You know the one. I mean, I think I did it okay there, right? Most of you are like, oh my gosh, what are you singing? Okay. So anyway, that old kind of song, build your house on the rock, but they never explain how to do it. So that's what we're going to go into. That's what this morning is about, is about building my house on the rock and how do I do it? Because for me, it was different to what I initially thought. So from there, then Luke goes on. I'm just going to paraphrase this. Then Luke goes on. And in chapter 7, he talks about the centurion. Now we know the story about the centurion. It says, and when Jesus had concluded all these sayings, in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. So he comes into Capernaum, and these leaders of the synagogue come to him. So he's in Capernaum. The leaders come to him and they say, Jesus, you have to come with us. There is a man, and he is a good man, and his servant is sick unto death. So he deserves for you to come with us. He's a great guy. He's got his life together. He's disciplined. He loves his country. He's a soldier. He's faithful. Come on. He's amazing. He built the church. He built the synagogue. This guy is a rock. I mean, he's amazing. And Jesus doesn't say anything. So Jesus follows them. He just goes with them. As they get closer to the house, now the friends come out and they meet Jesus along the way. And they stop him and they say, listen, the centurion has sent us to you. And he doesn't want you coming in his house. Because he says, and then they quote him, he says that I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. All right, you see his view. I'm not worthy for you to come into my house under my roof, but I'm a man like you. I'm a man who has authority. So I say to this person, go and do this, and they go and do it. And he says, I say to that person, go and do that, and they go and do it. He says, if you just speak to the sickness, come on. If you just speak to the sickness, you have authority over the sickness, and it has to do what you say. Just say it from wherever you are, and it'll happen. I'm good with that. You don't even need to come and see me. Like, I'm not worthy to see you. Just say the word where you are, things will happen, and all is good. Now that got Jesus' attention, right? Please, I want you to notice, the building, the synagogue didn't get his attention. The good works, come on, didn't get his attention. Now those were important, but he's looking at the motive behind it at this point. And the guy says, at this point, he turns around and he says, in all of Israel, I have never, ever, ever seen anybody who believes in me like this guy believes in me. I have never had anybody who trusts me like this guy trusts me. Never. I've never had it. There's nobody in all of Israel where I've had this. This impressed him. Amen? And now, from there, the good works come. Are you guys with me? From there, the good works come out of where this guy was. And that's what we want to look at, because when I say build your house on the rock, we all think we've done it. And then when I say do the sayings, when Jesus says here, you need to do my sayings, like Duncan prayed earlier, we all think of works. Come on, the first thing going through my mind when it's like, okay, do my sayings. Okay, listen, have I been a good guy? Did I mess up in this? Did I mess up in that? Well, I'm in church at the moment. Hallelujah. I actually preach, so it means I have to do some preparation. So I'm doing okay there. I'm spending time in the Word. Did I pray? When did I pray? How did I pray? Okay, I prayed. Okay. How's my life? Right? That's what we immediately go for, because we're people of the flesh. We want the works. It's the works. We always check in the works. Right? Have I done his sayings in the works? But now what Jesus does is he kind of throws it upside down and he hits the belief. That's what impresses him, because you see, my belief determines my works, right? He said you can't hide good fruit, right? If a guy's doing good work, if a guy's doing good stuff, it's a sign that something good is going on behind it. And so Jesus addresses the belief issues. Most of the time when he confronts his disciples in the Gospels, he never says, oh, did you sin? Amen. It's always, why didn't you believe? Like, what's wrong with you? I mean, I just thank God I didn't live in those days. I mean, he's like, what's wrong with you? I mean, Peter gets out the boat, excuse me, walks on the water. He walks on the water. He starts to sing. Jesus catches him and says, dude, what's wrong with you? Right? Why did you doubt? He didn't say, like, address his sin at that point. He didn't address his works, because that comes out of the belief. Are you with me? We're gonna see how it all fits together. It's the belief that affects my actions. There's a whole chapter on it in the book of James, saying that you cannot say I have faith without corresponding works. You can't say, Jesus, I believe you, yet not have actions that support that. Right? So now as we, it's going to come together, as we jump into James 1. James chapter 1. Now James chapter 1, James is just after Hebrews. If you hit Revelations, you've gone too far. It's the book of James, and we're going to chapter 1 in verse 22. And now James is saying exactly what Jesus says in the book of Luke. He's just saying it in a different way. Right? So he says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Right? Now, do the works, do the saying. Same as Jesus says, you call me Lord, Lord, but you're not doing what I say. Right? So James is saying, be doers of the word and not hearers only. So in both passages, we've got two people who are hearing, two people listening. They're all listening. One listens and doesn't do. The other listens and does. Now, I know you're like me. You're still confused as what to do. What should I be doing? Okay, we're going to get there. So you got the listener, and then you got the doer. And then he goes on to say in this passage over here, we're reading from verse 21 onwards. It says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. So in other words, you know, the same thing is if there is somebody and they, like I mentioned, some of the leaders, they built all those finances from those countries on murder and extortion and abuse and things like that. Many people did, many leaders did. And that's a sign of their life. So you can see that. The Bible says don't have a part of that. Don't be full of wickedness and filthiness. But that's generally not us people. All right? That's generally not believers. I mean, we're not wicked, filthy people, right? But it says don't be caught up on that. Instead, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. But this is how, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And then it goes on to explain it like this. It says, somebody who does is a person who looks in a mirror and remembers and continuously looks in a mirror. I'm just paraphrasing this. So let me explain it this way. He's likening the word of God to a mirror. He's saying that the only way that you can see what you look like is by looking in a mirror. Now, he says, if you don't do what the Bible says, you're like a person who looks in the mirror, you see what you look like, but then you walk away and you forget what you look like. Is this making sense? Am I following okay here? So he says, the word of God is like a mirror. Now, the only way that you can see what you look like is to look in the mirror all the time. You with me? The moment you walk away from the mirror, you forget what you look like. Now, I know this. You can't tell people. I used to design and manufacture wedding dresses. You'd never say from my attire. I'm undercover, okay? And I used to design and manufacture wedding dresses. And the boutique we had, I would get there early in the morning because I would open up. And there was this vanity. And it was like a Victorian vanity. It was beautiful. But the best thing about it is it had two movable mirrors on the side. So I would get there early in the morning. Now I'm really confessing my sins. And nobody was around. And I could turn these two mirrors and I could see myself from any angle. It was wonderful because you can see what is my hair doing here. And then you're like, hey, I've got stuff growing out from here that I shouldn't have. And you can see what you... You can see your ears, you can see every part of you. But when you leave, you forget what it's like, right? You forget what you look like. I mean, I can't remember what the back of my head looks like. I look at it, oh, it looks fine. You walk away, you start to forget what you look like. Now, that's what it's saying. You look at me as if you're all confused. That's what it's saying. It's saying this is the mirror. So now, how do you keep doing the sayings? How do you walk in it? Because you have to keep looking in the mirror to be a doer. Because the mirror shows you, hey, I'm dirty. Hey, Neil, you never shaved today. Look at it. I can see I'm misshaved. I shaved here and I didn't shave over here. Hey, you know, I need to get my eyebrows clipped, right? I need to get some new gel because my hair's looking bad. I need to go for a haircut. These clothes don't work, right? It's the mirror that shows you. So when he says that you need to keep doing his sayings, you have to keep looking in the mirror, which is this, is what James is saying. So as you look in this, it shows you where you are continuously. The moment you put it down and you walk away, you forget where you are. You forget what you look like. There's nothing challenging you. So you just think about it. I mean, our churches, we are full of people who do good, but we're not looking in the mirror. Come on. That's why many people leave churches, leave religions. They leave other organizations. Most religions are good people. I've lived in all those countries. There's a lot of religions, and you can go to people, and they are kind. Come on. They are kind. They are generous. They are friendly. They are good people. They are faithful to their friends and their family. They work hard. Everybody wants the same thing. They are generally good people, but they're not building their house on the rock because they're not looking into the mirror all the time. So they're not building. They're not doing his sayings. Are they good people? Yes. Are they doing his sayings? No. Amen. Are people in our churches good people? Yes. Why do we offend so many people? Because I'll sit next to you. I'll worship Jesus. You'll be next to me. We'll walk outside. You'll offend me. I'll get angry. I'll be rude to you, and then you never come back. Because I'm not looking in, not me. Hey, come on. Come on. I'm using me as an example because I don't want to offend any of you guys. So, all right. But that's what happens in our churches, right? Is we don't look into the word, which is actually what makes us doers. We assume that being a good person makes us a doer, but it does not. Because his sayings are not in a good person. His sayings are in this. And so now James is telling us, he's making it a little clearer. He says, so it's a mirror. Now he says, when the storm's coming. He says, the storm's coming. And that storm is a big one. It's going to beat vehemently. Like, that's quite a word, right? I don't think I've ever used it in my life until I read that. Like, I'm angry vehemently. I mean, can you imagine? Or like, you've offended me vehemently. You know, I mean, it just doesn't work, right? But in this passage, it seems to work. Anyway, so the vehement storm is coming, and it's going to beat on you. And at that point, you're either on rock or you're on sand. There's no plan B. There's one or two. You're on rock or you're on sand. And if you are in this thing and you are checking yourself in this thing and you are doing his sayings and you're doing what he says, and so what happens is I look into this word and I see, well, Peter walked on the water and he still got into trouble, and I'm struggling to trust God to pay $10 on a bill, right, that I've got to pay, or $20 on a bill that I've got to pay, And this is showing me that I'm now like, hey, I'm not doing his sayings. Right. Now, when this isn't there, and I'm still a good guy, but I can't do his sayings because there's no challenge. Now, I get stressed about the $10. I phone you. I'm like, hey, dude, I've got to pay this bill. I've got to come up with $10. You're like, oh, shame, poor you, man. I get you. I feel you. Right? Then you get on the party. Oh, I can't believe it. Neil has to pay $10 for that. They're robbing him. Then you'll phone somebody and say, hey, guess what? Pastor Neil has to pay $10 on the, right? Now, and I think I'm right. That's not righteous. That is not what this is saying. This is meant to challenge me. I read it. Listen, he walked on water. He trusted Jesus, man. Come on. My little bit is nothing. And so then, it's by staying, looking in the mirror continuously. By looking in the mirror, doing his sayings. That now I'm building my life on the rock. Now his guarantee is the storm is going to come. And like we said some weeks ago, Paul gets stoned. Paul gets shipwrecked. Paul gets bitten by a poisonous viper. He should have been dead. He shakes it off into a fire. Paul gets beaten. The Apostle Paul, now the guy who wrote a lot of the New Testament, he gets beaten, he gets stoned and left for dead. I actually think he was dead. But what happens at the end of the day, he stands up, he says, these light afflictions. They're light afflictions. I didn't even break stride. They're light afflictions. Why? Because he was always doing the sayings. Amen. Always doing the sayings, doing the sayings. How do you do the sayings? By staying, reading, reading in the Word, in the Word. And then that transforms you. You see, that's the big, I'm going to be finished in a minute. You know, that's the, God is so clever. You know, salvation or going to heaven is free, but the rest costs your life. They don't tell you that. Costs your life to walk like he wants you to walk. Costs your life, right? Because it's all linked. It's all linked. It's all in this thing. If you spend some hours a day in this thing, your life will forever be changed. You will never, ever, ever be the same. If you hate reading, get it on your headset and listen to it. But if you listen to this, it'll change. Because he says, as you read this, it automatically does it for you. You see? I don't have to control my anger if I'm in this. If I'm in this, the anger disappears. You see? That's what the mirror does. The more I spend time in it. And so now I'm building. Now I'm building. Now there's a crazy storm going outside. I'm so dumb, I don't even know there's a storm going on. Why? Because it doesn't affect me. I'm in this. Right? You just kind of walk through it. You strive through it. So salvation is free. But to walk victoriously, it takes time in this thing. That's the problem. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Matthew. And so, today as you leave, just to sum up, today as you leave, what is building your house on the rock? Building your house on the rock is staying. It's staying in the Word so that you can live his sayings, so that you can be challenged, right? That you can be challenged all the time. Like, how can I do better? And then the thing is by staying in this, as you're reading and learning his sayings and you're actually doing his sayings, it transforms your life. Right? Transforms your life so that when the storm comes, you're okay. You can make it through. Amen. Amen. So we're going to, let's stand and we're gonna close and... we're going to trust God that the thing I'm going to pray for this week for you is that you will have a vehement desire to read this and to be in this during the week. Amen. So I'm going to pray for you that God will just miraculously just spark something in your life. And I'll just tell you how Jesus works. Let me. I wish I could just put everything in like just. But I can't. I'll tell you how Jesus works. When you pray for somebody who's like an addict, very often God delivers them right then. When you pray for yourself and you need to be set free from something, very often God delivers you right then and the desire leaves. But the Bible says that the temptation leaves for a time and then the enemy comes back. So maybe the next day or the next week or later that day, the desire for that will come back again. But the power of it has been broken. Because very often you'll sense that the desire is not as strong as what it used to be. It's the thought that comes back, and then we give in to the temptation. Right? Now, the same is with this. When we pray, a spark will come. And tonight you might sit down, and all of a sudden you just get that thought or that urge or something, hey, I should just read my Bible. Now, God's not going to get off the throne, slap you around, pick up the Bible and put it in your hands and say, now read. Amen. He's gonna bring that desire. He's going to bring it to your mind when you're doing something. When you're in the car, he might put on like, hey, just put that scripture on. Let it play while you're driving. Then it's for us to do it. Amen. For us to do it. That's where the life-changing comes. So I'm going to pray that God sparks a desire in all our lives. Because if we get in this word, you will know the truth. He says, if you meditate in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. Truth will make you free. Hallelujah. And so I'm going to pray that today. So when you get that feeling this week, tonight, tomorrow, in the middle of the night, just spend some time in the Word. Amen. And then a pattern will begin. Amen. So let's pray. So Father, we come to you. You are so amazing, Jesus. Like the songs we sang earlier, this is for you, Lord. Our lives are yours, Lord Jesus. We come because we are so in love with you. And we don't want to say that, Lord. We want to do it. We want to be people of action. And so we want to spend time in your word. And all of our hearts, Lord, all of our hearts is that we leave here and that we want to know you more. We're here because we want to know you more. But we just struggle to do it and we struggle to keep the commitment going. And so I pray for all of us here that you would spark a desire in our hearts for your word, that we would become hungry to study your word, that we would be hungry for the water of the word, that we would thirst for you, Jesus. And so that everybody who listens to it or reads it, however it is that we get it into our lives, that Lord, you would today, tomorrow, this week, you would remind us every day to spend time with you and to just give us the right thing, give each of us the right thing to read that'll spark our interest and keep us into your word in Jesus' name, your mighty name, I pray. And then I just pray for anybody here going through a hard time with anxiety and depression, stress. Father God, that you would break that off them now, Lord. Holy Spirit, you've come to set the captives free. You've come to set us free, Father God, and those things are not from you. And so we just pray, Lord, that anybody here struggling with any of those things, high anxiety, Lord, that you would let your Spirit just break the claws of those things over our lives, Lord. Over all our lives here today, that we would live free from anxiety. The Bible says that we will live, that you will be free from torment if you do not fear. And so to break fear on our lives, Lord, that we might live free from torment. In Jesus' name I pray.